is a window.
Something you use to look through a brick wall with.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What letters in the alphabet come after A?
All of them.
Oh, correct. Pay that man $9 because...
It pays to be ignorant. As living proof to all you servicemen and women listening in over there that it does pay to be ignorant, here's another half hour with radio's biggest collection of zanies, the incomparable wits, George Shelton, Lulu McConnell, and Harry McNaughton, our doctor of music, Nat Novick, and the man who sticks his neck out every week at this time, our moderator, Tom Howard.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we are here again with that quiz program known as Idiot's Delight, with a board of experts who are so dumb they think an autobiography is something with four wheels. First, we have the celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled Sightseeing in Berlin, or Hail, Hail, the Gang's All Gone. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
Yeah, I know.
I draw the line at kissing. She said in accents fine, but he was a football hero. So, of course, he crossed the line.
Fine.
He made a touchdown.
All right. Next, we have a woman who, when she wears a fur piece, looks like she's carrying a litter of pups around her neck. A woman who always wore slacks until she saw herself in her rear view mirror. Here she is, a honeydew melon with legs, Miss Lulu McConnell.
You know, Mr. Howard, I gave 500 pounds of paper to the paper drive today.
Well, that's fine. I'm glad you save it.
Oh, I save everything. I even save matches.
You save matches?
Yeah, but I have an awful gas bill.
You have?
In order to save the matches, I have to keep the gas burning all day.
I see. That's annoying.
Yeah. That's nice.
You see what I mean, folks? All right. Next, we have a man who, when a boy, lived in a street at the head of the block. And he's been a blockhead ever since. A man so anemic-looking, if he ever fell asleep in a tuxedo suit, they'd bury him. There he is, Mr. George, good to his mother, Shelton.
Did I tell you about my Uncle Webthorpe up on his farm, Mr. Howard?
No.
You know, his wife left him, and he feels pretty bad about it,
I imagine.
You know, since she left, he can't sleep a wink.
He can't sleep a wink?
Why? She took the mattress with her.
Oh, she took the mattress.
Well, mind over mattress, you know?
Mind over mattress.
Yeah. He would spring
there. Oh, cut it out, please. You've just met the experts, folks. Two blanks and a dud. Now, here's the first question on tonight's program.
Yes.
I'd like to have you answered if you can. Here's the question. In the nursery rhyme, Tom the Piper's son stole a pig and away run. What was it that Tom stole?
Did you say Tom the Piper's son, Mr. Howard?
That's right.
Well, that's an Indian drum, isn't it?
Yeah. What's an Indian drum?
A tom-tom, you know, the Indians dance around.
Please, Mr. McNaughton. If I had your head, I'd turn it in as waist fat.
I know that, but I'd only get 2 points for it.
It's 4 points now.
When it gets to six, sell.
Sell. Please, the question is Tom the Piper's son. Now, please, what was stolen? Miss McNaughton, do you know what the Piper's son stole?
No, Mr. Howard, no. You see, I've been out of town for a few days.
I'm sorry.
When was it missed, old boy? That is, I mean, when was it last seen? And with whom?
When was what last seen?
Whatever you're looking for.
I'm not looking for anything.
Then how do you expect to find it?
Ah, please. Miss McNaughton, if you had another brain, you'd have one.
Thank
you. Look, I'll make it very simple for you. Very simple. The Piper's son stole a pig. Now, what did he steal?
What did he want with a whole pig?
Oh, he was just trying to make a hog of himself.
How'd they know he stole it?
The pig squealed on him.
Oh, getting worse.
Are you sure the pig squealed on him?
Well, we'll have to take it for granted.
For granted. Mr. Sheldon, will you stop making a bore of yourself? Look, the question is about a pig.
Mr. Howard, how old was the pig?
How old?
Yes.
Well, I would say about...
What are you looking at me for?
Say, you know, Mr. Howard, at the Trenton Fair several weeks ago, I saw a pig with red ribbon around his neck.
Must have been a pig sty.
A pig sty. That's pretty weak, Mr. Sheldon. Will you cut it out, please?
You know, Mr. Howard, I once wrote a book on pigs.
Yeah,
I wrote it under the name of Fountain.
You wrote a book on pigs under the name of Fountain?
Well, you see, Fountain was my pen name.
Fountain, oh, God. They're cooling up. Thinks he's Tchaikovsky or somebody. That music reminds me of a night in a Turkish bath. It's all wet. Let's get on here. Here's the next question. I do hope I'll get an answer to it.
Yeah, so do I.
Thank you. I know I'm just being an optimist.
Yeah, did you say optimist?
Yeah, that's one of those big fishes with eight arms.
That's an octopus, you nitwit.
Oh, no, I beg to differ, old boy. An octopus is a man who examines your eyes.
I see. Mr. McDonald, for your information, that's an oculus.
Oh, don't be silly. An oculus is a person who always looks on the bright side of things.
Oh, that's an optimist. Which brings me back to myself again.
Must be very monotonous.
Okay, never mind. Now let's get on with the question.
Yes, what was the question, Mr. Hard?
Who stole Tom Tom's pigs?
Oh, please.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. We haven't found the pig yet.
No. You passed the pig.
I did? Why do you walk so slowly?
Because... Are you ready for the question?
I am, yes. Are you ready for the question, Miss McConnell?
No, not quite. Wait till I put a little lipstick on my lips and pretty up.
Yeah. I can't wait till you find your lips. Now, come on.
Shut up, you old discarded toothpaste tube.
Thank you. Here is the question. What kind of work is done? What kind of work is done in a cleaning, pressing, and dyeing establishment?
You know, it's funny that you should ask that. I'm helping a friend of mine out right now, and he runs a cleaning and dyeing establishment.
You're helping him?
Mm.
What are you doing?
I'm dying.
You're what?
I said I was dying.
You don't look sick.
I know I'm not sick. If I was sick, I couldn't die.
Now, just a minute.
If you were sick, you couldn't die.
No. Oh.
Suppose you had some sort of ailment that proved fatal.
Oh, then I'd be dead.
Well, when you die, ain't you dead?
If I was dead, how could I die?
Please, Mr. Sheldon, tell me, what are you dying for?
I'm dying for a living.
Oh.
Oh, I see. You mean you get paid for dying?
Certainly. You don't think I'm going to die for nothing, do you?
How much do you get paid for dying?
$30 a week.
What do you want to die so cheap for?
Well, some weeks I make more.
Oh, how do you make more?
I die overtime.
Ain't that awful? Will you please stop it, please?
I say, tell me something, Mr. Sheldon. Yeah. How do you die overtime?
Well, some night the boss comes around, he looks at the clock,
yes,
and he says, George, go out and get your lunch. And come back, you've got to die till 11 o'clock tonight.
Who tells you that?
The boss, the man I'm dying for. You see, I'm not dying for myself.
Oh, you're not dying for yourself.
No.
Who are you dying for?
I'm dying for another fella.
Another fella.
Well, the matter with him? Can't he die?
Oh, sure, but he don't have to die.
No.
He used to die.
Ah, please.
Well, he used to die.
Yeah, he died 3 years ago.
He died 3 years ago? Then you're not working for him anymore.
Certainly I am.
How can you be working for him if he died 3 years ago?
Well, he quit dying.
Certainly he quit dying. If he died 3 years ago, he had to quit.
Oh, not necessarily. If he died 3 years ago, that doesn't mean he's forgotten how to die.
Oh.
I say, you know, tell me something, Mr. Shelton. If you died last week, could you die again next week?
If I'm living?
If you're... Now we come to our contestants. While Mr. Roberts is getting the folks up here, we turn to our augustor. An augustor who knows so much about music, they think Wagner was just a baseball player. An augustor who years ago used to play along the curb, and they've been in the gutter ever since. Here they are, Dr. Novick and his gutter snipes. First contestant this evening, Mr. Roberts.
Our first guest this evening, Mr. Howard, is Sergeant Bill Canavo of the United States Army.
Fine. Good evening, Sergeant Canavo, and welcome to our program. How do you feel, Sergeant?
Just fine, Mr. Howard.
Well, that's fine. Where's your hometown, would you care to tell us?
Red Bank, New Jersey.
Red Bank, New Jersey. Good old Red Bank.
Red Bank, New Jersey. Well, spray me with DDT and call me Itchy.
Yeah.
Why are you still working that town?
Ah, this is getting tiresome.
No, I was a doctor in a soda fountain.
You were a doctor at a soda fountain?
Yeah, I was a physician.
Ain't that awful? A physician. If you asked me, you were a jerk.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for the interruption, Sergeant. How long have you been in the service?
54 months, Mr. Howard.
54 months.
Well, that's nearly 3 years.
Yeah, that's nearly 3 years, yeah.
Oh, I'm quick on figures.
You certainly are. Do you expect to be out? Oh, wait a minute. I'm ahead of myself. I see you have a discharge emblem there. Is that right?
Discharged 2 days ago.
Oh, fine. Then you're out, huh?
Uh-huh. How much?
You know, Sergeant Canavo, during the last war, I was in the intelligence.
Wait a minute. You were in intelligence?
Yeah.
This I gotta hear. What did you do in intelligence?
I was a rookie tester.
A rookie tester?
Yes, if they found a rookie dumber than me, they discharged him.
Now I know we have such a large army. Now, what did you do before you entered the service?
Well, I used to put tissue paper between visiting cards.
I'm not talking to you. He used to put tissue paper between visiting cards. What'd you say you done, Bill?
I was a musician.
You are a musician?
Boy, that's a novelty on this program.
It certainly is. Before you came up here this evening, did you ever hear our orchestra play?
Well, kind of remotely.
That's how you should hear it, remotely. Tell me, you being a musician, Tommy, I'd like to know this. What do you think of our orchestra?
Oh, they play pretty fine.
They play pretty fine. And you're a musician. Well, I could be wrong. Well, we are indeed very glad to have you with us this evening.
Yeah, we sure are. What's your first name, honey?
Bill.
What?
Bill.
Isn't that a cute name,
yeah.
Bill?
Well,
I just love it. Oh,
yeah,
he's a cute kid, too, ain't
he's
he?
He's a nice looking boy.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, honey, you can play in my band any old time. And you won't have to play second fiddle, either. Just call me Barbara. I'm a regular cut-up.
Hey,
yeah.
And you're getting everybody's hair. Look, Sergeant, will you reach into the dunce cap there and pick out a question for us, please? And when you get one, would you be kind enough to read it right in the microphone, if you don't mind?
What railroad is mentioned in the song on the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe?
What is the name of the railroad mentioned in the song on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe?
Mr. Howard, do we have to get 2 out of 3 on this one?
Two. What do you mean, 2 out of 3? There's only one railroad mentioned in the song?
Only one. I'm sure I heard 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure I heard 3. Would you mind repeating the question?
What is the name of the railroad mentioned in the song on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe?
There is 3 now. I paid close attention that time.
Yeah.
You did. You said 3. You said Anderson, Tapioca, and Alice Faye.
That's what I said, you know.
Yes.
That's exactly what, but I don't recall the tapioca.
No.
Oh, I was just putting that in.
You were just putting it.
Maybe it was 3 songs.
I didn't mention 3 songs.
Well, you don't have to shove my head off, do you?
What head? Look, I'll repeat the question again. What railroad is mentioned in the song, the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe?
Hey, well, I already said it again. 3 railroads.
Mr. McNaught, you must have studied a long time to be so stupid.
No, I didn't study at all. It's a gift.
It's a gift, I say.
I got a gift from my old man today. A beautiful hook rug.
Yeah, where'd he get it?
He hooked it.
I bought my girl a gift today, a turtleneck sweater. And when I got home, what do you think? She didn't have a turtle.
Yeah.
I should have asked Moitle if she had a turtle.
Yeah.
I wish now I had a border of goitle.
Will you let us get out of this hurdle? Look, can we please get back to the question?
You know, I have to buy my wife a birthday gift next week, but I really don't know what to get her.
Buy her some handkerchiefs.
Well, I would, but I don't know the size of her nose.
My old man gave me 4 strands of pearls for my birthday.
Gave you 4 strands of pearls?
Yep.
Yeah, one for every chin.
Yeah.
You skinny old rip. Every time I look at you, I feel like saying, is there a doctor in the house?
I see. Thank you. The question is not about gifts, it's about a railroad.
What railroad?
That's what I want you to tell me. Haven't you ever heard the song, the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe?
What is the song got to do with it? Listen, is it a question about a railroad or a song?
Look,
make up your mind. What are you trying to do? Throw a red herring across our path?
If I had a red herring, I'd throw it across your face.
If I had a red herring, I'd eat it.
Yeah.
Very delicious, you know. Little lemon, tartar sauce, some toast.
Yes.
Oh, you should have seen the fish I caught last Sunday.
Really? What was the name of it?
I called it O'Sullivan.
You called the fish O'Sullivan?
Yeah, it was a number one eel.
Eel, I see.
No, my old
man... Did I say anything?
No. I think you used the wrong bait on that gag. What'd you say?
My old man's going fishing.
Yeah.
My old man's going fishing Sunday, and he's taking me with him.
He is. Well, he'll need better bait than that, too.
You know, speaking about fishing, my sister caught a big fish last summer. Yeah, she caught a big fish. He's my brother-in-law now. Charming fellow he is, too. Has small eyes and no ambition.
Look, gentlemen, excuse me for calling you gentlemen. I'm trying to get the name of a railroad.
Why, where do you want to go?
I don't want to go anywhere.
Then what do you want with a railroad?
Ah, Johnny, before they strike back this... shape tonight.
I know you'll be very happy to meet, Mr. Howard. Sergeant Muriel Lloyd of the Women's Army Corps.
Thank you. And good evening, Miss Lloyd, and welcome to It Pays to Be Eager.
Well, rather, welcome, Miss Lloyd. How do you do? Charming, yes, very lovely.
Yes.
Miss Lloyd, I saw your picture, you know, Lloyd's of London.
Ah, isn't that all?
I knew her sister, Celluloid.
Celluloid. Pay no attention to them, Miss Lloyd. We're going to feed them in a minute. How do you feel this evening?
I feel very fine, thank you.
Well, you certainly do look it, I must say. Where's your hometown, would you care to tell us?
Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Chattanooga, Tennessee. Well.
Chattanooga.
Yes.
My word, what a coincidence. I used to live in that town, you know.
You did?
I lived there when I was a barefoot boy. Uh-huh. I just went back there last month.
Why did you go back?
To get my shoes.
Damn.
Saw the man on the corner and...
All right. Even with your shoes, you haven't improved your status any.
Has improved his what?
You wouldn't understand such things.
Oh, yes, I would. You can tell me, Mr. Howard. I know all about the birds and the bees.
Never mind. Pay no attention to the miss. What are you doing here in New York?
I'm stationed here.
Oh, you're working here. How long have you been here?
2.5 years.
Oh, 2.5 years. Then I guess you've seen quite a lot of our city.
Quite a bit.
How do you like it?
Very much.
Well, that's fine. That's
doing
great.
Anything tonight?
Oh, never mind.
Is
to Mr. Shelton. Very, very charming lady, you know.
I'll say she is.
Lovely eyes and hair.
Cute as can be.
Very beautiful.
Oh, I like her immensely, Harry.
I mean, that very charming piece of bric-a-brac, I'd say.
Would you mind telling me what you two are mumbling about?
Just a little research.
All right.
What are you butting in for?
I'm sorry for this.
You old dumb cluck.
All right. I'm sorry for the... Miss Lloyd, are you married?
No.
Oh, I see. And are you having a good time in New York?
Well, a very good time.
Uh-huh. Then your husband is not with you.
No.
All right.
Wonder how I look at that uniform.
How you'd look in that uniform, like an elephant in a revolving door. That's how you look.
That's a nice dress you have on, Miss McConnell.
You like it?
Yeah.
I wear this dress to tease.
Uh-huh. At your age, who are you going to tease? Would you reach into the Dutch cup there and pick out a question for us, please? And would you kindly read the question, Miss Lloyd? Just take your time.
What color is a blue serge suit?
What? Thank you. No help from the audience. What color is a blue serge suit?
Well, what size is the suit, Mr. Howard?
Oh, I expected that. The size doesn't make any difference.
Mr. Howard, that's the silliest remark I think I ever heard you make. The size doesn't make any difference. Why do you think they have to try a suit on? Why do they have a suit altered? Answer me that, either, Ken, which I doubt if you ask me, which you might.
Ah, please. Mr. Sheldon, did you ever win a prize for being stupid?
No, but I bet I could if I tried.
I bet you could. You could without trying. The question is, what color is a blue serge suit? Do you know, Miss McConnell?
I might.
What do you mean you might? If you can answer the question, why don't you raise your hand?
I can't. My girdle's too tight.
I see. Yes. You haven't got a two-way stretch. All right, let's get on there. Do you know what color a blue serge suit is,
Single-breasted or double?
That doesn't make any difference. I'm not talking about the style. I'm talking about the color.
Speaking of suits, you know, it reminds me I must get a new dress suit. You think I'd look good in tails, Mr. Howard?
Why not? Your ancestors did.
What? You know, I went into a store today and I said to the salesman, I'd like to see something cheap in a suit. And he said, certainly, look right in this mirror. Ah.
That isn't a bad-looking suit you have on now, Mr. Shelton. Does it wear well?
Oh, it wears all right.
Yeah?
Of course, all pants wear out in the end.
In the end.
Well, that's probably the seat of your trouble.
Yeah, that's the seat of your trouble.
Say, tell me, Mr. McNaughton, what would you rather have, a wife or a pair of pants?
Or a pair of pants.
Yeah?
You can go any place without a wife.
My old man's always getting sore at me for taking spots out of his suits.
Why should he get sore for you taking spots out of his suits?
They're 10 spots.
Can we please answer the question? What color is a blue serge suit?
I read in the paper why they're making women's dresses out of glass.
Oh, really? I'll have to look into that.
Where did you get that dress you have on?
I made it myself.
Yeah?
Don't you think it matches my face?
Yes, I noticed. It's a cordine pleated.
You should talk. You have to build all your, buy all your suits with built-in chests.
Thank you, Miss McConnell.
That's kind of Miss McConnell, and I think you look nice in that dress.
Thank you, and I think you look nice in that suit.
Well, thank you. These are my glad rags.
Yes, glad rags on a sad sack.
Yes, I went shopping yesterday, you know. I was in the quandary.
A quandary? What kind of a car is that?
Yeah. You see, I went into a store on Fifth Avenue to buy a suit, but the salesman didn't have anything I liked, so he said, would you like to try on that suit in the window? I said, my word, wouldn't it draw a bit of a crowd?
Well, I see Mr. Palazzi telling me my time is up, so we'll just have to call it off until this time next week. Now, here is that young man with a voice like a 1910 Maxwell to tell you what we mean when we say...
It pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be dense, to be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me. When I was just a school kid, I wasn't awfully bright. I had a pretty teacher who made me stay in each night.
That's all. Be with us again next week and hear it proven again by Tom Howard, Lulu McConnell, George Shelton, and Harry McNaughton that it pays to be ignorant. Ken Roberts speaking. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.